the book of Ruth, chapter 2, we are, this is a great book. I love the book of Ruth. It's a tremendous book of the Bible. When we left off a few weeks back, when we left off here in the book of Ruth, we found young Ruth now, as she is, her and Naomi have come back to Bethlehem. She has now gone into the fields to get some food, and we have her now being introduced to a man by the name of Boaz, who, as we dig through this in the next couple of Wednesday nights, Boaz will one day be her redeemer. And Boaz, indeed, is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what you find in these few verses, actually, we're going to start in verse 8 here in just a moment and read down pretty much to about verse 16. You're going to find a beautiful picture, really the grace of God being fleshed out. The Lord's painting us a picture of grace and what it looks like. One thing that's great about the Lord is God is a God of picture. He likes to oftentimes show us a picture of grace here in the Old Testament. Of course, we know that Jesus isn't mentioned by name in the Old Testament, but he's there in a lot of pictures. He's there in a lot of types. When you think of types in the Old Testament, of course, you think of the ark and how the ark is a picture of Christ, and only those that were in the ark, of course, escaped the wrath and were saved. But when you come here to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, starting in verse 8 now, you're going to find that Ruth is going to be overwhelmed, really is a kind of a good statement. She's going to be overwhelmed with the grace showed to her. So if you found your place in honor and reverence, please stand to the reading of God's Word. We'll start in verse 8 of chapter 2 of the book of Ruth. The Bible says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Look at verse 10. I love this. Now this Ruth is a Moabite. Remember that? She's a Moabite. God's word's very clear that a Moabite shall not enter to the congregation of the Lord all the way down to the 10th generation. So how is she going to get in? She's going to get in by the grace of God. The question is, how did we get in? By the grace of God. Isn't that awesome? By the grace of God. Verse 10 says, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him," she's talking to Boaz, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit help us tonight, God. May he teach us. May he guide us. May he show us your truth, Lord. May he reveal it to us. May he illuminate it to us. And Father, we'll praise you for what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What is so amazing about grace? Well, you may recall that in the first few thoughts under this title, what's so amazing about grace? Well, grace is amazing because the reach of grace. If you think with me just for a moment how, as far as in the context of the Word of God, that the Bible is very specific and the Bible is very clear that when it came to the precepts and it came to the law of God and it came to the message of salvation, that message first and foremost was given to the Jewish people. But because of grace, God included the Gentile people. I'm thankful tonight that grace includes the Gentiles, aren't you? I think perhaps most, if not all of us, are Gentiles here tonight. And it's because of the grace of God that you and I have a Savior in Jesus Christ the Lord. The reach of grace, if you remember that Ruth was an outcast. She had been married to Naomi's son, and of course those Naomi and just a family tragedy, how her husband dies and then her two boys die, and And then, of course, she's left with her two daughters-in-law, and Orpah decides to stay back and go back to her people and go back to her gods. And that was Naomi's counsel and advice. She's a backslidden, bitter believer. And yet Ruth says, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay with you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. Where you go, I'll go. Where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. I'll die where you die. That's what Ruth says to her. But understand in chapter 1 when Ruth says that, even though she says that, we must realize that the only way that that would have been a possibility was for somebody to redeem her. She wouldn't get in just because, you know, well, I'm gonna decide. Notice she would only get in if somebody offered and showed kindness and mercy and offered to redeem what she needed to be redeemed. So we see that this reach of grace and the fact it's amazing because nationally, you remember maybe, nationally, Ruth was rejected. She was an outcast. She wasn't allowed to come in with the Jewish people. They would have looked at her and thought, man, she's unclean. She's not only not a Jew, she's a Moabite. And you can imagine the people. You can imagine the people whispering under their breath and talking about her and saying evil things about her. But she, it was just because of her birth. She had no choice in the matter. She was born into that nation. And you know, when you think of our lives, because of our birth, just because of our birth, we're born, we're sinners, we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because of our sin, it separates us from God. But thanks be unto God, through Jesus Christ and the grace that is found in Him, we find the mercy and we find that reach of grace in our life. Nationally, she was rejected. Personally, she was received. As we see, Boaz now reaches out to her. In those first few verses, here in verse number 8, Boaz understands that, you know, the law now allowed Ruth to be able to take of what the gleaners dropped in the field. It was harvest time, and the law allowed her to pick up the wheat, pick up the corn that was left behind. That's what the law of God allowed. But you are aware, and I love this, you are aware that even though the law may have allowed that, you are aware that grace offers so much more. You know, sometimes people, and I've met people over the years, I've met religious people who have they're a little, in my opinion, an observation of Scripture, they're a little messed up in their theology. I've met people over the years that I had a drywall finisher, Brother Tommy, and he was, I forget what his denomination was, but it basically was a denomination that he believed you could lose your salvation, and he believed basically he was earning his salvation, and he had to keep himself saved and all of that. And I remember talking to him about that, and I said, well, why do you believe that we have to keep ourselves saved? And I remember looking out the window one day. We was on a big job, and we were looking out. And the Lord kind of segued this perfectly, because I'm looking out the window, and he had a helper that he had told him. He said, "Well, get over to the truck." And he was with him. What was his name? I forget his first name. But anyway, his helper, Paul, was his helper, and Paul was a big old country boy. And this guy who I'm telling you about. The boss, you know, the finisher, the boss, he said, well, get in the truck, get the scaffold out. Well, when Paul reached in to get the scaffold, Jim walked up, and as Paul pulled it out, he hit Jim right in the head, man. Down he went. So I'm watching all this unfold, and Jim gets up and kicks him right in the stomach, knocks Paul down. And so I didn't say nothing. So we go to Burger King, we're eating lunch, and Jim starts telling me about this, you know, how he says, well, no, you can lose your salvation. I asked him, I said, well, did you lose your salvation today when you knocked Paul to the ground? You could hear a pin drop in Burger King. He didn't think anybody seen that. He didn't think anybody witnessed what he did. You know, I saw it, but here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We can, and you know this, but I just want to remind you, you know that we didn't save ourselves, and we're surely not keeping ourselves saved. It's the Lord Jesus that did that. And now looking into this, as we fast forward, as we kind of dig through these verses, Ruth now, let me say it like this, and maybe this will help you understand. The only hope that she has is grace. That's the only hope that she has. The only hope that she has is for someone to extend grace to her, to extend kindness to her. You remember the definition of grace, right? Grace is getting what we do not deserve. We do not deserve forgiveness. We do not deserve heaven. We do not deserve, you know, having the joy of the Lord in our lives. Grace makes that possible. So we see through these verses of Scripture how amazing the grace of God. It's amazing in its reach. It reaches to the sinner. Amen? Grace reaches the sinner. That's what's so great about our God. The Lord Jesus, and He says that in the book of Luke, He come to seek and to save that which was lost. And, you know, and listen, friend, I've often said this, and you may have heard me say this. The hard part, and Brother Andy and Miss Marcia, you experience, we all experience when you're witnessing to people and trying to get people to trust Christ their Savior and you're sharing the gospel. The hard part, honestly, the hard part is not getting them saved. The hard part is getting them lost. People need to understand that without Jesus, they're lost. They're going to go to hell when they die. And as a result of that, it's only by the grace of God that man can be born again. It's only by the grace of God. They say, preacher, well, yeah, it's grace, but I mean, why is grace so important? Well, without it, we'd be in hell. Amen? Without it, we'd be in hell tonight. Do you realize without the grace of God in your life today, you wouldn't have got up this morning? Really? Seriously? It's the grace of God that you have breath in your lungs tonight. Seriously. He said, preacher, I never thought of it like that. So let's look through this story. It's amazing in its reach. The reach of grace, it reached down and it reached into the life of Naomi. The Bible tells us in verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess and said unto Naomi, look at this now, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Her hope was that somebody would be kind to her and give grace to her. That's what her hope was. I've often thought this, and here's my thought to this. Do you think, now Ruth being a Moabitess, and understand, coming from a pagan land, coming from a very idolatrous religion, coming from a kindred that didn't know the Lord God Jehovah, here's my question. How did she know anything about grace? Do you think Naomi taught her? I think possibly. Maybe Naomi shared with her about the grace of God and all that. It's just some thoughts to chew on. So we see the reach of grace, but second of all, notice the resource of grace. The resource of grace. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth. She's not only going to find grace, somebody's going to extend grace to her. It's somebody very specific by the name of Boaz. Boaz, as we'll see next Wednesday night, is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an outstanding picture of Jesus. And I can't wait to dig through that about Boaz. It's Boaz, then said Boaz unto Ruth, notice the resource of grace here. Hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So Boaz says to Ruth, listen, and it says in the earlier verses that her hap was to land in a field belonging to Boaz. Now, hap means by chance. Humanly speaking, when you look at it from a human perspective, if you didn't know the God that we serve, if you're born again, if you look at it from a human perspective, you would think to yourself, oh, there's my water bottle. I was looking for that water bottle. Can you believe that? It's OCD, I'm telling you. It wasn't on the left side of me. I'm reaching on the left side. I'm like, I have no idea where I put my water bottle. If I'd have checked to the right side, I'd have been all right. But her hap was land on the field. I'm sorry. I've been running around Brother Stephen too much. Was to land in a field belonging to Boaz. Now, now we know, here's what's great about that, and you could parallel this with Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ has a plan for our life. So even though humanly speaking, it seemed like it was an accident, it seemed like it was a coincidence, no, friend, it was all grace. It was all grace that she lands in the field belonging to Boaz. And then Boaz comes up to her and says, wait a minute. I'm gonna demonstrate for you the reach of grace, and then I'm going to be kind. I'm gonna extend kindness to you, Ruth. I'm going to show you grace. But also, you draw, and Boaz is a picture of Jesus. You stay in my fields, Ruth. Don't go into any field. So what's the point? The point was, you may remember this, the point was, in the fields of that belonged to Boaz, she had everything that she would ever need. Let's think for a moment, as a believer in Jesus. Question for you. Do we have, and let's be honest, let's honestly answer this in the quietness of our heart. If we stay in the fields that belong to Jesus, do we not have everything that we need? We have everything that we need, do we not? Sure we do. So we see that Boaz says to her, don't go anywhere else. So, I mean, when you stay in my fields, you abide here fast by my maidens. Verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And go, and look at this, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. What is the resource? What is grace and the resource of grace? If we draw from the resources of grace, what does it bring to us in our lives? A couple things. First of all, it brings direction in our life. Grace will bring direction in your life. Let thine eyes be on the field that they... Ruth, you stay fast by my maidens. You don't go anywhere else. You stay in this field. You stay close to them and you reap where they reap. It brings direction in their life. She receives words of guidance and direction from Boaz. Boaz was going to watch over her. Boaz, grace was bringing a life of blessing and guidance and direction in her life. It brought direction in her life, but second of all, grace brought protection in her life. Verse 9. The Boaz said unto her, Have I not charged the young men, verse 9, that they shall not touch thee? She was an outcast. She was an outcast. She didn't have a husband. She had no one in the land other than Naomi. And Naomi was back at the house. She was at a very, very vulnerable point in her life. She was at a very vulnerable place in her life. And yet Boaz, he extends grace to her. She says, oh, I'm just, Naomi, I'm going to hope I find grace in someone's sight today. Well, she did. And it wasn't just anybody. It was Boaz. It was a picture of Jesus. And he says to her, I'm going to bring direction into your life, Ruth. But I'm also going to bring protection in your life. What a tremendous story to know that the God of heaven watches over his own. Let that get a hold of you for a minute. The God of heaven watches over his children. There's not a need that he doesn't know about. There's not a trial that he cannot help us with. Listen, friend, that's the God that you serve. If you know Christ your Savior, if you've repented of your sin and believed on the gospel, believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, knowing Jesus and God has forgiven you of your sins, you have a God that watches over you. You have a God that protects you. The resource of grace. There's something else that grace brought into her life. It not only brought direction, it brought protection in her life. Something else it brought into Ruth's life, it brought satisfaction into her life. She was satisfied. She's going to be satisfied, and it's all because of the grace of another. Somebody bestowed grace upon her life. He tells her in verse 9, and when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. You remember the law of God? The law of God allowed her just to pick up the scraps. The law of God allowed her to pick up what the gleaners had dropped. The grace allowed her to take a drink when she was thirsty. The Lord Jesus Christ said that of himself, did he not? Let all that is athirst, what? The Lord Jesus Christ, he quenches the thirst of every soul. Grace brings satisfaction in life. You get thirsty, you take a drink. You don't worry about it. You drank what these young men have drawn. You don't have to go after something else. You don't have to drink from the cesspools of the world. You drank from me. You drank of my resources. It brought satisfaction in their life. And that's what grace does in our life. The resources of grace. But I want you to the third thing, and we'll just take a few minutes and kind of expound on this a little bit in these next few verses. What was the response? Notice the response to grace. How do you respond to grace? I mean, we think about it, we talk about it, we preach about it, we talk about the grace of God. And the Bible has much to say about the grace of God. You know, the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Bible has much to say about the grace of God. We talk about it. We preach on it. We sing about it. But how do you respond to it? I'll be honest. Sometimes when you get a hold and you just start thinking about how much God has graced us in our lives as his children, it'll leave you speechless. Does it not? It'll leave you overwhelmed, as we'll see in this passage. What was the response of grace? Everything had happened so fast. One day she didn't know where her next meal was coming from. And the next day, her life is blessed beyond comprehension. This is awesome. Let's just start in verse 10 and read on down. Notice the response of grace. First of all, it was overwhelming to her heart. Verse 10. Then she fell on her face. Wow. Question for you. Let's flesh this out for a minute. You think there were other people around her? You think the young men were there and the maidens were there? There's all kinds of people around? It didn't matter, though. It didn't matter who else was around. She was in the presence of her soon Redeemer who had just graced her. He had just blessed her. And the Bible says she fell. This is amazing to me. This is a beautiful picture. She fell on her face, verse 10, and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Wow. What a thought. What a question. Maybe you're sitting here today, you say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand why God blesses me so much. We all could say that. Amen? We all could sit and you say, why does God do that? Can I answer? Can I answer that? Let me speak into that. Let me tell you why God does that. All because of Jesus. That's why. He does it because of Jesus. God blesses because of what his son, because of what his son has done for us. So she says, why? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why? I'm just a stranger. I don't even belong here. I'm not Jewish. I'm of no kindred as far as in the context of I wasn't born into this family. Why? I'm a stranger. I'm an outcast. I'm a Moabite. Why have I found grace in your sight? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense, verse 12, repay thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings, notice this, thou art come to trust. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." Ruth says to him, "Boaz, I'm different. I'm not like any of your other handmaidens. I'm just an outcast. I'm somebody that, as far as I'm concerned, I don't deserve this. Neither do we." Amen. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve any of what God does for us. That's why it's grace. This is awesome. Look at verse 14. "And Boaz said unto her," that's a sermon in itself. Boaz didn't have to. Boaz had, no doubt he was a wealthy man. No doubt he had all kinds of people working for him. He didn't have to be this engaging. No, he could have told his supervisors, if you will, "See that young lady there? Just, you know, keep an eye on her, watch over. Let her glean in the fields. You know, let her drink water." He didn't have to talk to her, but he chose to. Why? Because he cared about her. The Lord Jesus, he didn't have to, but he does. He speaks to his children. Aren't you grateful for the voice of God? Aren't you grateful for that still small voice through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit of God bears witness to us and helps us along the way? "And Boaz," verse 14, "said unto her," he's speaking to her again, "at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." He invited her to dinner. Well, that's a sermon of what Jesus has invited us to one day. Picture this in your mind. He said, "At dinner time, you come. We're going to break bread. We're going to fellowship. You're going to take your bread. You dip it in the vinegar. You eat at my table, Ruth. Everyone's welcome at my table." And the Bible says, "And she sat beside the reapers." Look at verse 14. This is awesome. "And he," underline that. Don't miss this. It's a beautiful picture of grace in this passage. "And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left." Do you see the picture? How would you have liked to have been at that table? You're Jewish. Everybody else around you is Jewish, except for one person. One little girl by the name of Ruth. She's not only not a Jew, she's a Moabite. And being a Jew, you would have understood the law because it would have been poured into you as a child. You would have understood that the law of God excluded her. The law of God, as far as the law of God was concerned, she should have stayed in the field. She had no business being in the house, sitting at the table. And then you got the shock of your life as you not only see her sitting at the table. Question. You think some people were whispering about it? Hey, man. And then you got the surprise of your life as you watch Boaz, before he even serves himself and eats, before he even eats after being sitting there, tears a piece of bread off, dips it, and Brother Jim hands it to that little Moabite girl. Wow. That's grace, ladies and gentlemen. That's grace. Jesus has given us a picture. Now he said, "Preacher, well, yeah, that's grace, but what does that have to do with me?" It has everything to do with you and me. It has everything to do with us. Had Jesus not intervened in our life, had Jesus not chosen to come to this world, to die on a cross of Calvary, to be buried and rise again, had he not chose to do that, we'd be in hell tonight. That's grace. He chose to give his life. He reached her. That's amazing to me, man. He reached her. Parched corn. And she did eat. Wow. That's beautiful to me. There's a sermon in that. And she not only just didn't eat. The Bible says she was sufficed. She was satisfied. And she left. The Bible then says she left in verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. No longer, because of Boaz, no longer does she have to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. No. She's going to eat some handfuls of purpose. Look at this. This is awesome. Verse 16. Boaz says to his reapers, to the young men, let her glean, even verse 15, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. That's grace, man. Boaz says to his young men, hey guys, I want you to do me a favor. When you're out in the field, and Ruth is out in the field with you, let her glean among, let her pick up some stuff that you drop on purpose. You know what's amazing about God? There's so many things that are amazing about God. His resources are limitless. When you think, listen, when you and I think we have exhausted the resources of grace that our God gives, he gives us even more. The Bible says in the book of James, he giveth more grace. Not just grace, he giveth more grace. There are some times in life, yes, you need grace, but there are some times in life, maybe through the trials or whatever it is, maybe through physical situations or emotional situation trials or you fill in the blank, there are some times God not only gives grace, he gives more grace. Wow. You think Ruth is overwhelmed? You better believe she's overwhelmed. Wow. And when you look at this, and you look at this chapter, her responses to grace, it overwhelmed her. It overwhelmed her heart. But it also overflowed from her heart. She was overwhelmed by it. She falls on her face. She acknowledges it. She acknowledges, why? Why? Why have I found grace? Well, Naomi told me all that you did for her. But also remember, Ruth, you've come into a land you didn't know these people. But most importantly, you've come under the wings of the Almighty and who you've learned to trust. It's all because of God. It's all because of Jesus. Here's the invitation. Maybe you're here tonight, you don't know Christ your Savior. You said, preacher, even in a service like this, it's possible. It's possible that there may be somebody that's never repented of their sin. They've never trusted Christ, their Savior. They've never believed the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. Maybe tonight you'll get saved. Maybe tonight, for the first time ever, you'll truly repent and place your faith and trust in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. He'll save you. He'll change your life if you'll ask him. Maybe you're here, though. You say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior. But to be quite honest, I've never really thought much about all that I have in Jesus. Well, sometimes we, as human beings, sometimes we can be very, as we say, often you can't see the forest for the trees. Meaning, sometimes we can be saved so long that we fail to realize what we really have in Jesus. But may I remind you, if it weren't for the grace of God, you'd be picking up the crumbs, man. you'd be picking up the leftovers in the field. But because of grace, she went from picking up the leftovers, literally the leftovers that had fallen and got left in the field, to now she's eating at the table of her soon-to-be Redeemer. That's all because of grace. What's so amazing about grace? Oh, it reaches the lowest of the low. Amen? It reaches the sinner. That's what it reaches. Its resources are unlimited. The responses to grace, we have nothing to brag about other than we brag on Jesus. We have nothing to boast in ourselves. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. We have nothing to brag about other than what Jesus Christ has done. Stand with me, please, for hymn of invitation.